So it is the last day of 2015, December 31st, and we just agree that the Lord will send forth laborers for the harvest for one purpose, that we just know Christ, really know Christ, really know Christ, really know Christ, really transformed by Christ. Not to have a slicker program, a well-packaged religion. We want to really be transformed. We want Christ to be formed in us. And so I felt as we're praying, just to come to Philippians 3 about what the whole deal is. And I want to bring just the passion that Paul had in his heart. And I love what he says in Philippians 3 here. And he goes and he shares his resume, if you will, because there's these guys out there trying to, you know, disrupt things and pervert things and trouble the Philippians. I guess I'll read that in verse 1. It says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoiced in the Lord to write to you again about this is no trouble for me and is a protection for you. Watch out for dogs. Watch out for evil workers. Watch out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcised." Talking about being Jews and Gentiles. I don't want to go into all the detail there, but the ones who serve by the Spirit of God boast in Christ Jesus. Do not put confidence in the flesh. Although I once also had confidence in the flesh. And he goes into his whole resume. He's comparing, like, hey, if anybody is qualified to present religion to you, it is me. That's what he's saying. Then he goes into, none of that religion even matters. It doesn't hold a candle to what is supreme, to what is preeminent. And he goes into verse 7. "But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ." Guys, the absolute best or the absolute worst, the worst that we bring to the table, is not the measuring rod that Father looks at. He looks at one thing, period. And that's His Son. Period. He is the preeminent one. It is Christocentric. And there's some things that Paul has captured here, I believe, that is fundamental or foundational to at least what's in my heart, what I'm pursuing, this journey we call living the kingdom, kingdom lifestyle. And he says this in verse 8, "More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, Yeshua HaMashiach. Because of Him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them filth, so that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith." And I define faith as, "Daddy, I believe you. I am who you say I am, and I can do what you say I can do." We reach out by faith because of His promise, because of what the price He paid. And He says, the righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Being conformed to His death. The old Adam is dead, guys. The old man really is dead. We have put off the things of the flesh and we have put on the new man. We put away the old man. And as we talked about before, the difference between top drawer and bottom drawer living. Life being like a filing cabinet. Top drawer is like the spirit life and the bottom drawer, the life of the flesh. That we are so conditioned inside because of what he's talking about here. We reach for that top drawer when trials come, when temptation comes. I want that to be my knee-jerk reaction, that I reach for that top drawer of spirit life. And the good news is we have grace, empowerment from above to reach that drawer. And if we keep on reaching for the bottom drawer, we simply repent and come back into alignment with the kingdom. But Paul had something here about this being conformed to his death. It's like he said, he also says that I die daily. He also says, I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me, etc. So I'm like, he had a revelation about something, guys, that we need at the end of 2015, going to 2016. We need this. We need this to walk on, I believe, as the overcomer, the victorious. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. So there's this place I believe he's drawn all of us. Again, this is foundational. This in Christ-ness. Lord, we have to have the revelation of the in Christ-ness. So even when we do reach for the bottom drawer, that we come to our senses, our right mind, if you will, and like, what am I doing? Repent. Come back into alignment. Shut that drawer and open up the top drawer. That's what's so awesome about the Lord. And I'll say this, that I much rather have the grace of God than the mercy of God. I'll define that as being this. The grace of God is the empowerment to live out His nature. The mercy is when we fall through our shorts and we cry out for mercy. So the good news, we have both, don't we? Isn't that a blessing? We not only have His grace, we also have His mercy. That when we are wayward, we're off sideways, He is merciful. But I want the grace of God in my life. I don't want to make decisions that are hurting people, hurting myself, propagating the problem and not fulfilling the solution, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory, emanating His nature and His life through a people who are surrendered and yielded. So Paul had this thing about being conformed to his death that we need revelation of, that we are not obligated to sin. We are not obligated to live in the old man. I mean, we are literally in the Spirit crucified with Christ. He died, was buried, and rose again victoriously. Amen. He has called us to resurrection life. That's the new man. But you can't go into resurrection until there's a death. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening in Christendom today. People want to go ahead and put Christ on like a cheap suit. You've heard this illustration. You take, put them on and take them off anytime you want. No, that thing is crucified. That old man is crucified. And so, Father, give us eyes to have to see that we are not obligated to the same old phobias, the same old fears, the same old depression, the same old mindset and worldviews. We're not obligated to sin. We're not obligated to shame, guilt, and condemnation. We're not obligated to any of that. We're not obligated to pride. We're not obligated to these familiar spirits. We're not obligated to any work and conspiring of hell. It is severed, dismantled, destroyed, annihilated, and rebuked. And we consider ourselves to be free in Christ. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. We take that by faith, Lord, that we come into a brand new year. Not only a new day. A brand new year. Realizing that we are being conformed to Christ's death. He said, it is finished. It really is finished. That I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave Himself, who loves me and gave Himself for me. Lord, we've got to have this. We go into a new year, Lord, with fresh eye salve that we might see. In alignment in our spirit. And he says this, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. Look what he says here, verse 12. Not that I've already reached the goal or I'm already fully matured. That's the whole thing when I was talking to you guys about the difference between a technon little child who's not able to handle inheritance to the huios son, who is a son who has maturity that he's able to handle the inheritance. If you will, father gives him the car keys and trusts him to be able to navigate the automobile without killing somebody or injuring himself. It's about trust. Both are sons. Okay? Both are sons. A one-year-old and a 25-year-old are both sons of their father. One is immature, one is mature. So we're on a journey here. We're all growing, but let's not sabotage our growth by pride, an unteachable spirit, not having that desperation in us, and not being honest. Let's just not sabotage that growth. Let's not sabotage the maturity, the huios development of a mature son in us. So Paul says this. He said, hey, he came to, I believe, understanding there was still room for growth in his life. And so I believe we need to have that same mindset. You know, and that's humility. I mean, some of the worst people to be around, in my opinion, and I don't want to be this guy, when they know everything. Oh, I got that. Oh, I know that. And there's just no teachability to them. May we not have that spirit about us. Amen. May we always have a humble and teachable spirit. May we always be tender towards the Lord and know there is room. As Paul says here, not that I've already reached the goal or I'm already fully mature, but I make, here it is, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ. I love that. So the things that we're pressing towards, ladies and gentlemen, this the maturity in Christ, this is so encouraging to me. We're pressing to take hold. And what we're talking about here is that we're living out the nature of Christ in maturity, right? And really what it is, it's boiled down to this. We're loving like He loves. So we're pressing to lay hold of that, but He says this, but that which you reach out to lay hold of has laid hold of us. Wow! Isn't that awesome? Isn't that good news? So we're not in this alone, guys. We have the indwelling Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Helper, the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside to help us in this reach. Okay? I'll say it to you this way. It's the Christ in us reaching to the Christ on His kingdom's throne. There's like a double reach going on. So He Himself is reaching out to Himself. It's a very interesting concept. Because there is a God, there is a Christ who sits on the throne. But He also lives on the inside of us. Isn't that interesting? Amen. So there's this place in heavenly places in the Spirit. And He says, hey, I'm reaching out, but that which I'm reaching out for has reached out to me. And that is such an awesome concept. And I love that visual. So I'm going to say it again. But I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Last few verses. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. So all the immaturity, all the failures, all the successes, all the areas that we may want to relate to, or our identity is wrapped up in, He says, kill it. Cut it off. Let it no longer hinder you. I mean, even Paul talks about in, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians 5, it's like, but we are new creation, new creatures in Christ. He says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He talks about us being ministers of reconciliation. Therefore, be reconciled to God. He calls us ambassadors of Christ. It's awesome, awesome, awesome. So it continues with this. It says, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. Therefore, all who are mature should think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained. To whom much is given, much is required. Be faithful with little, he'll make you a ruler of much. He really will. So let's be true to this. Let's be true to what we have received. Let not just be up on the shelf collecting dust. You guys have personally have gotten so many tools. You really have. I mean, you have given, the Lord has given you so many tools in your tool belt. He says, don't put them on the shelf. Use them. And I love how he says it here, you know. And he continues in verse 15. Therefore, all who are mature should think this way. I'll read this again. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained. Join in imitating me, brothers. So we want to be around people who are in red hot pursuit of Yahweh. And we need those examples in our lives. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. I mean, Lord, in this generation, we need men and women of God to say, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. Somebody who has actually an example with flesh and flesh and bone and blood that see like Yeshua with skin on, that we have those real world examples before us that are going after the heart of Yahweh. And he says, verse 18, for I have often told you, and now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. They are focused on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of His glorious body by the power that enables Him to subject everything to Himself. So in closing, we don't want to be enemies of the cross. Let's not look at being with those people out there. Lord, remove every resistance I have to your redemption. Remove every bit of resistance in me that does not appropriate the finished work of the cross. That's enemies of the cross. We think of it maybe in a different concept, but we begin to frustrate the grace of God. Doubt and unbelief is the enemy of the cross. Ego and pride is an enemy of the cross. And so may we not take that stand, but in humility say, Father, I thank you so much for your Son and the finished work of the cross. And Galatians 3:13, that He became a curse for us on the cross. We don't have to labor under a curse. We don't have to labor with just these wicked worldly and demonic influences, but He calls us more than conquerors in Christ. In the one who loves us, He calls us to always triumph in Christ. He calls us overcomers. And so may we keep these things in mind as we go throughout the day and in closing this year, that we really, that we may know Him and the power of His resurrection, that new man. and the fellowship of his suffering. And that's one thing that's very, very important. When you want to walk the straight and narrow, we all know this, guys. It just invites suffering. But may we ask the Lord to really help us. And that's why it's so awesome just to have an aggressiveness in prayer. We need aggressiveness in prayer. May we not be passive in prayer. Because when we go through suffering, that our perspective is changed because we're in prayer about these things and we're in communion with God. It's a fellowship of suffering. This is one thing a while back, several years, when the Passion of the Christ came out, and I'll close with this. There was a very interesting image when I saw that movie. When Yeshua was picking up his cross, and he was unstable, he's wobbling and he drops and he picks his cross back up, and it's like he embraced it. It's like there was almost a passion. You know, it's like he laid his head on it like this fellowship of suffering, like, I am gonna finish my course. I'm gonna finish my race. And Hebrews 12 talks about fixing our eyes on Yeshua, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him said endured the cross and despising its shame. And I just praise the Lord for that. Like he just embraces the cross. So when we go through suffering in our lives for righteousness' sake, may we be like that. Say, Lord, give us such a different understanding and so much transformation that we're not fighting against suffering, but we're overcoming it. The Lord needs to change our perspective. I know I need it probably above all. I need it above all. I have to have a perspective change. I have to. Because things are not getting easier. They're getting more difficult. And this is the time for the real members of the body, for real sons and daughters to emerge and rise, that are full of God, that are full of His perspective, full of His nature, not passive, but they're warriors. So may I, in a command, say, warriors of God, rise up. In Yeshua's name.